Good afternoon, brethren. Looks like our numbers are a bit short from this morning. Remember to pray for those who choose not to be here and those who are fallen. I thought that it would be good as far as, because we just had our series on God's way for marriage, the book of Song of Solomon. It's a book of the Bible that is not as respected as other books. And to many eyes, it's a book that is very neglected in the Bible. And it's a book that I believe is just as inspired as any other book of the Bible. It's canon. It's another book of the Bible. I believe it's as good as the Minor Prophets. It's as good as the book of Ephesians, as any other book of the Bible. It doesn't apply to us as far as law today, doctrine today, because we're under the New Testament. It is Old Testament. But nonetheless, it is an inspired book of the Bible. And it is part of the Old Testament dispensation of time. And I believe that we should respect it just as much. And so what I chose to do was have it as another add-on as far as our God's Way for Marriage series. And I thought to use it in the way of showing love for the spouse, the Song of Solomon application. So once again, this is an add-on for God's Way for Marriage. So I thought we'd extend it just a little bit. I thought it was appropriate to use Song of Solomon, as it seems, that book really is one of its main purposes is to show maybe the more closeness type relationship between a husband and a wife, the more, you know, really the necessity of a marriage relationship. And so as we talked about the origin and purpose of marriage, we talked about the life therein, we talked about the marriage, divorce and remarriage, we talked about all these things the last 3 weeks, and many different parts, and now let's talk about it with Song of Solomon's application. Of course, many different beautiful love letters and examples that are shown here in this book. And once again, we respect it just as much as any other book of the Bible. It is important, though, and of course, remembering all of our verses that we've already gone through. Of course, if you haven't seen any of our prior parts of this series, I encourage you to go look back at those on Facebook, on those videos. But in this one, we'll be reviewing some of those scriptures, but for the main part, we will be staying in the book of Song of Solomon. Now, it's important to understand how crucial it is to love our spouse and also to give them what they need in life so that they will not stumble as Christians, but be loving and strong couples in the Lord. Every one of our marriage relationships with our spouse and ones in the future and ones that have happened maybe in the past, well, it's important to understand how we should be showing that love towards our spouse that we need to show. What is marriage like for you? What will it be like for you in the future? What has it been like in the past? If you're subject and allowed by God's New Testament law, once again, we talked about all this. If you're able to remarry, how will that remarriage be in the future? And so marriage, though, once again, as we understand the foundation of it, is given by God, and it is a gift by God, and really the strongest covenant between a man and woman that we can think of and that we can know of. But it is a gift. As we read in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, and once again, we've already read through those things, but I will go ahead and review it real quick. We've gone over all this, but it is a gift of God, Genesis 2:18. Says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." So as we read that, we understand that the woman was a gift to man by God. And this doesn't mean that the woman is less important than man. It doesn't mean that woman doesn't have a soul. Some people, you know, atheists, they'll say that, you know, how can God be God if he doesn't let women have soul? No. Every part of Scripture applies to women just as much as it does to men. And so the woman, though, was a gift to man by God, both made in the image of God. They're two genders of the same species. We talked about this as well. This is required to have a marriage, man and woman only. But the fact that a woman was a gift to man by God, we need to understand that goes both ways. Man is just as much a gift to woman as much as woman is a gift to man. And so we must cherish each other accordingly, equally. Both the man and woman together serve many different purposes for each other's physical and spiritual survival. In a marriage together, as a man and woman, you are responsible for each other. Physically, yes, and also spiritually. If you not serve your spouse, you may cause them to stumble in a variety of ways if you do not serve your spouse. Of course, if the husband doesn't love his wife, if the husband doesn't take care of the household, he causes her to stumble, etc. If the wife likewise doesn't do the same, causes him to stumble. But talking about all these things before we, of course, get to all that, we need to understand still the foundation that it was sanctioned by God from the beginning. As we've been going through this series, we talked about how God is the creator of the marriage covenant, the sustainer of the marriage covenant, the ordainer of the marriage covenant, and the ender of the marriage covenant between a man and a woman on earth. And there's no tradition of man, there's no culture of man that can overarch this or go above it or make more authority than God's law on the matter. Now, Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 25, as we review these things, and once again, we'll be done with our review in a second. Genesis 2, 21 through 25. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. You shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. They shall become one flesh." And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. And so, of course, this relating to verses like Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, talking about how marriage is honorable among all, but it was sanctioned from the beginning by God. Marriage is something that was made for man and woman. The woman was formed out of the man. The gift was given. God gave the law of marriage right then and there. It was something that was original. It's something that was God-made and God-given, God-purposed. It cannot be perverted by man. Man does not have the authority to do so. Now, a man and woman, when married, as we just read, would become one flesh. We've read many passages, like Mark chapter 9. We read many others that talked about how the same thing, of course, Jesus would exactly say in the New Testament. With all that aside, because we've already gone over all that, and I encourage you once again, if you haven't, look at the other sermons. Let's talk about mutual things between a man and a woman. The first one being mutual spouse love. If you would, turn over to Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 16. Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 16 to start out here. Song of Solomon 2 and verse 16. It says there, "My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feeds his flock among the lilies." Now this is the Shulamite woman speaking here. "My beloved is mine." Now this whole thing, remember, is an expression of love to the other. And so from the man to the woman, to the woman to the man, it goes back and forth. And so it's this mutual spouse love. It's this true love that we see throughout this book that really God purposed this book to show should still be in a marriage all through its days. It doesn't matter how old you get. This is something that a husband and a wife should try to accomplish, trying to have this true love. And marriages in the future that would happen should try to accomplish, make a goal, having that mutual love throughout their entirety of their life. You hear about people who are married for 60, 70 years, you know, sometimes, 80 years, and they just love each other just as much maybe as they did when they were 20 years old. I mean, it just never ends. And that's a beautiful thing. That's something that should continue. That's really what one of the purposes of marriage is to have that fulfillment of love, of companionship, of cherishment. Love, of course, as the book of 1 Corinthians, of course, also talks about in its definition, this is something that a man and a wife should have together all the time, that type of love. And once again, the reason I'm not reviewing those things is because we went quite a bit over those things in depth. This is Song of Solomon application specifically. But Song of Solomon chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, if you will. Verses 8 through 14, let's read that together. "The voice of my beloved, behold, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He is looking through the windows, gazing through the lattice. My beloved spoke and said to me, 'Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs,' verse 13. The vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. I want you, brethren, as you think about how you talk to your spouses and how you communicate and how you maybe compliment each other, you know, when was the last time you said how beautiful you are, or how I want to see your face, or how sweet the sound of your voice is? You know, when was the last time you said that to your spouse? When was the last time you showed this affection, this type of affection? Maybe called them even the words my love. When was the last time you called your spouse my love or my dear, or you know, not just simple words like honey, you know, in passing, but you know, really affectionate type things and really trying to show that love. And once again, marriage is about showing this type of affection. And really the purpose of this book, I believe, is really to show us that in our marriages, we should try to show that type of love that we have, of course, given to us by God and extended to us as a man and woman should have together by God. But a man should love his wife. In this text, the woman is describing how her man longs so much to see her, hear the sound of her voice, and just love everything about her. Is true love something that is lost in time? It shouldn't be. True love is something that should continue throughout the entirety of a husband and wife's life. It should be forever. It should be something that never stops if it's truly a couple and a marriage founded and really continuing in God's love. From couple to couple, our affections may be different. Some may die down as far as affections go. But remember, we're talking about this concept of true love and having this, you know, this really work of being constantly affectionate towards our spouse so that they might not stumble, so that they might be fulfilled in life, so that they might be cherished, cared for. And that's important. In every marriage, that's important. Every one of us wants to be longed for, wants to be needed, wants to be loved by another person. Every one of us wants that sense of companionship. Not a one of us in here doesn't. And so, once again, you know, some people, and there's nothing wrong with it, never are married. Some people choose to never remarry if they're able to. But, and that's also okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Paul was one who never married, most likely, the apostle. And that's fine. But talking about those who, of course, choose to be married, well, they should have this mutual spouse love constantly. Likewise, with the man loving her husband, or his husband, rather, excuse me, the woman should love her husband. And so, think about how much this woman in this text loves her husband. Throughout the book, you can read this entire book, and I encourage you to tonight, or whenever you get a chance, how much they show their love for each other. And how much really they mean to each other, how much they express, really even, you know, even some type of sexual desires, they express, you know, in great detail how much they admire each other's bodies, etc. There's nothing wrong with that. Why is there nothing wrong with that? Because really I believe this book is to show once again that marriage bond or that marriage covenant, how we should cherish each other within that. Otherwise, this wouldn't be an inspired book of the Bible. It would have no purpose. I believe this book does have a purpose, and I respect it just as much as any other book. And so, the woman should love her husband. That foundation is key, and that is true love. Throughout the book, they are so in love with each other. They talk poetically. They describe each other. That's a beautiful thing. There's nothing wrong with that in marriage. And once again, in a God-seen marriage. How genuinely do you love your spouse? Now, this is one thing that we also need to talk about. And really, these are practical topics. And, you know, we've already been over so many scriptures as far as marriage goes. We're really just getting into practicality and general lessons. But how genuinely do you love your spouse? How much do you show it and actually mean it? You know, how much do you really care? And that's the next thing we're going to talk about is mutual spouse care. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, if you will. Now, brethren, as I'm going across all of these different chapters, realize that really the entirety of the book is talking about these things. And so I'm using specific passages to reference really the main topic that I'm getting at of this lesson at the time. But really the whole book encompasses the things that we're talking about and the different topics. So mutual spouse care, Song of Solomon 3, 1 through 4. Let's read it together. By night on my bed, I sought the one I love. I saw him, but I did not find him. I will rise now, I said, and go about the city, in the streets and in the squares. I will seek the one I love. I saw him, but I did not find him. The watchmen who go about the city found me. I said, have you seen the one I love? Scarcely had I passed by them when I found the one I love. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him to the house of my mother and into the chamber of her who conceived me. So the man should care for his wife and the woman should care for her husband. Understand the longing and the desperate care that the woman really is showing here for the man. Understand how much she wants to protect him. Likewise, the man should want to protect his wife. Should want to cherish her in the sense that he would do anything for her. And really, that's what's being shown here. She's dedicating all of her time now. She's worried out of her mind. She's going and trying to find this man. The man whom she loves. And that's the type of love that we need to have in our marriage, is that type of care and cherishment. That type of love brings the contribution of putting food on the table from both sides. That type of love brings about tending to each other's bodily needs even. When we talk about things like sexual desires and sexual fulfillment, those things are also necessary within a marriage, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We'll talk about that later. But also to her emotional needs, when we talk about emotional needs of each other. These things, when we talk about affection, when we talk about cherishment and care, emotional needs are something that every single human longs for and really has and needs taking care of in. There's nothing wrong with saying that I have a mental illness. A mental problem is just as problematic as even a physical illness can be. If anyone says that a mental illness can't cause a catastrophe in one's life, that's simply incorrect. Mental illness can cause catastrophe. I've seen it with many brethren. And likewise, that is why spouses need to care for one another. Spouses need to cherish one another and take care of each other's mental state as well. And that also comes by fulfilling one another in these different ways we're talking about. Now, the man should care for husbands, or the man should care for his wife, The woman should care for her husband. It's these vice verses over and over again. But the Shulamite woman in this text we just read, she's worried for her man. She's worried for the one that she loves. She's willing to protect her husband. She's wanting to care for his physical, his spiritual needs. And likewise, the woman needs to contribute to putting food on the table, giving of shelter, taking care of the family, etc. As we've already, once again, reviewed in the other sermons we've went over. She should tend to her husband's bodily needs, just as we've talked about the husband tending to the wife's bodily needs, but also to each other's emotional needs they should tend to. Now, as we talked about care, let's talk about prioritization. Song of Solomon chapter 5, if you will. Chapter 5, Song of Solomon, verses 2 through 8. Mutual spouse prioritization. Song of Solomon 5, 2 through 8. I sleep, but my heart is awake. It is the voice of my beloved. He knocks, saying, open for me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. For my head is covered with dew, my locks with the drops, of the night. I have taken off my robe. How can I put it on again? I have washed my feet. How can I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the latch of the door, and my heart yearned for him. I arose to open for my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh. My fingers with liquid myrrh on the handles of the lock. I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and was gone. My heart leaped up when he spoke. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen who went about the city found me. They struck me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took my veil away from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him, I am lovesick. This prioritization that is really shown here of from these two, or from this lover to another, this, of course, the man should show prioritization for his wife. He didn't show that in this text, but the woman showed that for her, for her man. The man wanted to see this woman, but wasn't willing to wait long enough for her to come to the door. That's really what we see contextually going on. He should have waited long enough. He should have not left the woman to worry, but no matter what he did. Really, it should be, though, that no matter what comes up, don't leave your spouse in the dust. Prioritize them. And brethren, once again, these are general lessons with Song of Solomon application with respect to this book. Now, prioritizing them only comes with one exception. There is one other who comes above all else, and that, of course, is who? God. God should come above anything else. If your spouse was to tell you, don't go to church services today. If your spouse was to force you to not obey God, well, who do you obey first? You obey God, obviously. And so prioritization comes with that one exception. Now, the woman should prioritize her husband just as much as the husband should prioritize his wife. In this section, the woman spent all night looking for her man. She was even beaten up trying to find him, but pressed on. Where was the husband? What was he doing? Why was he not prioritizing her back? So it should be mutual. The woman gave everything she had to prioritize her husband, her time, her energy, her worry, and her life. Now remember, as we say husband and wife, brethren, it is debated as to whether or not these two were husband and wife. But I do believe that they probably were, because I don't believe that, of course, that a scripture would go against another. And Song of Solomon is canonicity. It is an inspired book of the Bible. So it could not be. It could be. And so as we talk about these things, just keep with the lesson in mind as we're applying it to a husband and a wife, really for the purpose of this book. But our priority as Christians should be God first, spouse and family second. Loving and caring for our brethren as well, of course, is also priority. Now, as we talked about mutual spouse prioritization, let's go ahead and read, if you will, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33, another review text that we've already gone over and spoken about in great detail. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. Says there, starting in verse 22, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Now stop right there. Does that mean that only husbands are to love their wives and wives are not to love their husbands? Or is that a likewise? It's a likewise. It should be equal. It should be mutual. Wives are to love your husbands just as much as husbands are to love their wives. Or wives are to love their word jumbles. It's vice versa every time. You know what I mean. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. So continuing verse 26. "That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that he should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." So the point of all that was to show you that there should be love in a marriage relationship between a husband and a wife. It should be mutual. It should be both parties loving one another, really in the same amount of level. And that is the utmost level. God's type of love, really. And so other passages we can look at are Titus chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. Titus 2, 4 through 5, and I'm only going to review some of these texts because, once again, brethren, we've already gone over so many of these. 4 through 5 says that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And so, is true love something that is lost in time? Well, it shouldn't be. This mutual spouse prioritization, mutual spouse care, mutual spouse love, it's something that should continue throughout the marriage covenant. Really, whenever we marry one another, whenever a man marries a woman, it should continue throughout that covenant. It shouldn't die down. And I understand how affections can die down, of course, throughout life. And of course they do. Of course, everything dies throughout life. But as we think about God's type of love and the practice of fulfillment, as we're commanded to do, really, for one another as husband and wife, it's something that needs to continue on throughout the remainder of our marriage on this earth. It is a marriage covenant that we're bound to in the eyes of God. And so we have to continue it. It is a mutual love, a care fulfillment throughout that covenant, throughout the extension of our life. And so we are not to neglect one another in that marriage covenant. We are to prioritize one another as we should. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 9. Let's read that together. The last one we're talking about is mutual practicing of fulfillment. Mutual practicing of fulfillment. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 9. Almost finished. Now we've gone over this one as well. Verses 1 through 9 says, "Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment." Remember, that means permission. "For I wish that all men were even as myself, but each one has his own gift," key word, "from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and the widows," continuing, last two verses, "it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion." If you would turn back to Song of Solomon while I say a few more things here. The man, of course, should fulfill the desires of the wife just as well as the wife should fulfill the desires of the husband. It should be a mutual thing. It should be something that is a likewise manner between and an equal manner between both of them. A practice. It should be something that is really continual throughout the marriage covenant. Once again, so that you do not burn in those passions, once again, evil passions that would lead you away and break that marriage covenant and would lead you away ultimately from God. Song of Solomon 5:16, if you will. Song of Solomon 5:16. Some more application verses. "His mouth is most sweet. Yes, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem." If you would turn also to chapter 7 and verse 10. Song of Solomon 7 and verse 10. "I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me." Shulamite woman there talking. "His desire is toward me." Of course, talking even about the sexual desire. It is for the one that you love, and it should be that one in that marriage covenant that you love. And that should be where the sexual behaviors are directed and also fulfilled. And that is the responsibility of each of you and each of us as we consider our marriages. As a husband and a wife, we are responsible for one another, physically, mentally, spiritually. We're responsible. Now, each one's responsible for their own soul, yes, but for the guiding and for the helping of each other as we help our brethren even. You know, the marriage covenant is the strongest on this earth between a man and woman. And leading a family, leading each other, helping each other through this hard life, as it can be sometimes, is important that we have that companionship as God intended it. And so we can look at many other passages in Song of Solomon. We will go ahead and conclude as far as that goes, the application. I encourage you to read through this book and understand what it's saying as we think about marriage and as we think about the love and fulfillment and care that we should have in a marriage bond together. You know, however long you've been married, however long that you think until you will be married or past marriages, still read through this book and see, you know, how we should prioritize these things, how we should show this type of love and this type of affection towards the one that we love. And even if it's not a marriage covenant, in ways of the level of love, you can maybe think about it for other people like brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ. Of course, not a sexual type relationship, not at all, but a brotherly type love. And once again, that's just to say the level of love. We should have the utmost level. And Song of Solomon, I believe, is really one of the purposes of this book is to show that level of love and that, you know, continuous affection that happens or should happen between a husband and a wife throughout their marriage. We need to understand that men and women both have desires. Is that a sin? No, it's not a sin. For a man to have desires, that was instilled in him by God. For a woman to have desires, that was instilled in her by God. That's not wrong. But how do you fulfill it? By the marriage bed. By the marriage bed. Hebrews 13:4. And so, we all have sexual desires. We all have desires for companionship. Not just sexual desires, but desires for companionship. Desires for cherishment, to be loved. That's something that marriage gives. And that's something, of course, that was made for us so that we can have that gift, so we can have that blessing and that help that we need throughout this life. We all have desires and we need to fulfill them as husband and wife. It is our responsibility in our marriages. Marriage does have many purposes. That is, we have talked about many tonight, and of course, with the context of all the lessons that we had in this series, if we have no more lessons, which I believe that should be the last lesson on this series, then that will be conclude this series, brethren. I appreciate all of the beautiful comments that I've also had as far as these lessons, and I thank you and I praise God that this has been beneficial for you in this series. If there's anyone tonight who has any sort of need, any physical needs, illnesses that you would like prayers for, any mental needs that we talked about as well, you would also like prayers for, or spiritual issues, let us help you get that right also with God tonight. If there's anyone watching online or here tonight that's not a Christian, you must believe Jesus is the Son of God, be willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus is the Son of God before men, and be baptized in the water for remission of your sins and to be added to the kingdom of God. Only then must you remain faithful until death and you will receive heaven. If you are willing to make that sacrifice, if you're ready to make that commitment rather tonight, then we will help you with that. If you have any need, please come to the front as we stand and praise God together.
Yeah.